Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Talk radio to feed your brain. The Drex Radio Show. Weeknights at 7 on KGO 810.
An audio engineer knows which gear there is.
You need to run your source through the DNS 1500 first.
This always did feel like one of those shows that would go for a while.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we KGO go, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And we have a lot to talk about tonight. Erin Andrews, Maria Sharapova, and Hulk Hogan. All talking about legal matters tonight, and we're going to start with Erin Andrews, who was awarded $55 million in her lawsuit yesterday. Here was the reading of the verdict.
Defendant Michael Barry is at fault if you find Windsor Capital Group to be also at fault in this case. Also, what is the percentage? The total percentage of defendants you find to be at fault must equal 100%. You find that Windsor Capital was 49% at fault, and that Michael David Barry was 51% at fault. Correct. What amount of damages, if any, do you award the plaintiff, Erin Andrews? $55 million. Triathlete, that turns out to be a judgment against Mr. Barry for $28 million, against Windsor Capital, $26,750,000.
Okay, that's a lot of money, and it's a lot of business, and I welcome to the show Allison Treasel. She is a criminal defense attorney in Los Angeles, and she has her own television show on KTLA, Legal Smart, and I welcome you, Allison. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk. We have a lot to talk about. Sharapova, Hulk Hogan, but we'll begin with Erin Andrews. So now it's yesterday's news that she was awarded the $55 million in damages for the secretly recorded nude video taken at her hotel room in Nashville. But I think the news today is, A, is it excessive? And B, will she really get that kind of money?
Well, first of all, this isn't yesterday's news because this is a big wow.
Right.
What a excessive, shocking amount of money. You know, this is really unheard of and pretty much unprecedented. Here's a case where you have no real physical injuries, and you kind of have to look at it in the backdrop of what juries usually award. So just to throw out some numbers for most medical malpractice suits that go to jury trial, juries award an average of $400,000. Most adult women, if there is a wrongful death suit, the average across the country is $3 million. So compare that to a $55 million judgment when there is no physical injuries, only emotional. And really, when it comes to the hotel, which is very important here, there really aren't any punitive damages because these were not intentional infliction of emotional distress. All of this is negligence on part of the hotel. So it's really when you look at it like that, it is shocking.
I was shocked last night too. And when we started talking about this, when it broke, but by the way, before that, I was thinking $75 million, that's a stretch. But then when the story was going around that Neil Peskin, the attorney for the defense, you know, at the Nashville restaurant, showing the video at the table, I don't know if that was admitted into evidence or not, but I thought, you know, maybe she's on to something. But yes, last night when we were talking about it, a lot of people were thinking it's excessive. And the average Jane or Joe would not get that.
I have been following trials for many years. I've been practicing for almost 20. I have a website called Wild About Trial where we actually stream these trials. I have never seen a verdict this high given the facts. And really, you have somebody who commits a criminal act, and there's no question that she was harmed, and there's no question that this was an invasion of her privacy. Absolutely. And the hotel really was negligent in a lot of ways. The most damning evidence against them was this piece of paper that was introduced to the jury where he makes a request to have an adjoining room. It's written out and it's honored. And that's really damning. But the kind of money we're talking about, where the hotel was found to be liable $26 million, really should be sending some serious, what are we going to do in the future as hotels? Because this has happened in the past, but no one's ever gotten money like this.
Right. It's the first time I've heard of anything like this. But, you know, people are saying today, also legal eagles such as yourself, that, you know, Marriott and this individual who owns this franchise will appeal and demand that the reward be diminished dramatically.
Okay, so that's a very separate issue, and that is, what kind of money will she actually take home?
Right.
So the first step is the defense is going to ask the judge to reduce the amount. Because of the public attention, the judge at this level, the trial court judge, probably will not do that. But they will appeal the verdict, of course, and they will, of course, say that it is excessive. We also have to remember that what should come out of their pocket is the $26 million, and that the guy who did this to her is owing $28 million, and he really doesn't have that kind of money. He has no money.
Right.
There is something about joint and several liabilities, so they do have to worry that they may be on the hook for much more of it than $26 million. But at the end of the day, and then there's attorney fees, and I believe those are 40% of what is recovered.
I was curious about that, yes.
But she's still going to be a very wealthy woman after this judgment, but she'll probably walk away with much less. She may walk away with $10 million or so.
Do you, as she was claiming, and it was quite an emotional trial, and she became emotional, and, she did well in the trial, obviously, but do you believe that her image was tarnished because of this?
Well, what's interesting is, and that was really the defense's claim, is that her popularity soared and her stock soared, and she immediately went on Dancing with the Stars, and she got all these incredible job offers. So from a purely financial point of view, she has done very, very well after and perhaps as a result of this incident.
I would agree with that because, by the way, even myself, who's in the, I'm in the business, I didn't know who she was until this all started.
Well, I'll tell you, what's interesting is none of the hotel employees knew who Erin Andrews was. So when the person called in to ask for the adjoining room, there was no red flag because they didn't know who she was.
Oh.
So this has definitely brought a lot of attention to her. And, of course, has it moved her fame along? It absolutely has. Now, the jury, however, didn't care. They did not buy that defense in the least. And she came off as a very credible and sympathetic witness.
Indeed.
Who they liked.
Yes.
And her attorney described what she's gone through with words like horror and shame and humiliation. They had an expert testify that she is now suffering from a mild form of PTSD. And those kinds of things really resonated with the jury. She had her parents there. Her father took the stand. He was very emotional. And they felt that she really has suffered. And even though it was not admitted into evidence that they had looked at that video while the trial was going on, this jury was not sequestered, and it's possible that news got out. Look, they're even doing this to her now. They're even looking at the video now.
Exactly.
All these years later.
Yes, indeed.
So, and plus, this, this, there's no question, this is a runaway jury. This is a jury that felt that were emotionally invested in this case and felt badly for her.
They sure did, and we'll just wait and see what happens and see if they settle. When we come back, we have more to talk about. Maria Sharapova, one of the biggest, well, I guess probably besides Serena, the biggest tennis star in the world, was admitted and suspended for doping today, and we'll chat about that coming up next with our...
Please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Maria Sharapova was suspended today by the International Tennis Federation because she failed a drug test at the Australian Open in January. Here she is talking about it.
I wanted to let you know that a few days ago I
Received a letter from the ITF that I had failed a drug test at the Australian Open. I did fail the test, and I take full responsibility for it. I don't want to end my career this way, and I really hope that I will be given another chance to play this game. And I know many of you thought that I would be retiring today and announcing my retirement, but if I was ever going to announce my retirement, it would probably not be in a downtown Los Angeles hotel with this fairly ugly carpet.
Okay, so Maria Sharapova fails the drug test and insults the carpet, and boy, she's in a lot of hot water. And my guest is Allison Treasel, criminal defense attorney, and you can follow the Hulk Hogan trial live at wildabouttrial.com. She's on Legal Smart on KTLA, and she is my guest this hour. Thank you very much again, Allison, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is quite a story with Maria Sharapova.
It is.
Yes. So she was taking the drug meldonium. Can you explain what that is?
So meldonium is intended to use for heart conditions on a very short-term basis. 3 weeks, essentially, is the maximum amount of time from what we understand from the information that she has released. She has used it for 10 years, essentially. It was not on the doping banned list until January of this year, essentially. But once it was on that banned list, she continued to use it. And what they claim is they banned it because it has enhancing performance potentials. And she did not stop using it. She was tested. She tested positive, and now they have suspended her. What she's looking at, this goes far beyond just the time that she's suspended. We'll talk about that in a second. But if it is an intentional use of drugs to improve her performance, it can be up to a 4-year ban.
That's right.
If it was unintentional, yes, it's a 2-year ban.
Okay. Well, so the story goes, she said that she had a magnesium deficiency and a family history of diabetes, and she needed to take it. So there was no ill intent.
Right. And I don't think that they'll ever find that it was intentional. I think they'll find that it was unintentional. And in fact, they have said, the president of the Anti-Doping Association said that if you're found guilty of using the substance, you're looking at probably a 1-year suspension, which is probably the outcome in this case. But beyond the time that she will be banned from playing tennis, this is the most highly paid female athlete. And she makes a lot of that money based on her sponsorships.
Exactly. So last year she made $29 million. $23 million of that was with Tag, Porsche, and Nike, which have all suspended their ties with her today. So they've taken a very aggressive stance. What is your opinion?
Look, here's the thing. That these companies make money because of the pure, holier than anybody else image of these athletes. They never want their product associated with someone who is using illegal drugs, and they distance themselves very, very quickly. So, you know, she has this huge Nike endorsement. She has Tag.
It's
she has
monster.
Evian. She has Porsche.
Right.
When those go away, her huge income goes down to whatever she can make on these tennis tournaments, and she won't be playing for a while. So this definitely is a major development in her career.
Well, I think what is interesting is you thought that Erin Andrews was excessive, but I think isn't there a process that they have to go through? For all of these companies to back out today is very powerful. I never even heard of this drug. I mean, if it was cocaine or other drugs.
Right. No, I agree with you.
Very harsh.
Yeah, I mean, they need to I understand that the company wants to protect their image, and I get it. But she has a right to appeal the decision. And if,
right,
in fact, there's a doctor who says, look, this was medically necessary, you can use that as a defense to lessen the punishment. And I think that they will wait and see if her punishment is lessened and if they say, well, it was an unintentional, they may come back to her. She still is very squeaky clean. Plus, she did something very, very right. She got in front of the story. She immediately owned it, took responsibility for it.
Yes, she did.
And she, and that's not easy to do. And that was a very, very good move on her part. Her publicist should be applauded. But I think that will speak volumes in whether or not the sponsors come back to her.
Well, if you think of all the people, Olympic gold medalists, sprinter Marion Jones and Lance Armstrong, Alex Rodriguez, the list goes on and on. And very interestingly enough, Tiger Woods, now that was not drug related, but, you know, Nike stood by him.
Right.
I mean, you know, apples and oranges, I suppose. I know,
the hypocrisy.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. And Serena came out today, said that she was standing by her friend because she said, look, you know, it was January 1st and maybe she didn't know. And it's not like it's an illegal drug or whatever. It was a prescription drug. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that this story will leave the headlines quickly. And I think it's partially because she came forward and said, look, I didn't know. I didn't know it was a banned drug. I do now. I take full responsibility. And you're right. This is not a street drug. This is a drug that was prescribed by a doctor that had not been on the ban list for the 10 years that she had used it previously. So I think she'll be fine.
Okay, we're going to talk about Hulk Hogan. Somebody besides Donald Trump had to talk about their penis today, and we'll discuss coming up on the Drex Radio
Show. It was explosive.
Yeah, I bet it was. Check it out at wildabouttrial.com, and we'll continue on the Drex Radio
10.
All right, kids, strap yourselves in, because here we KGO go. Let's talk about Hulk Hogan.
What you going to do with Hulkamania and the largest arms in the world destroy you?
Well, he may have the largest arms. I guess he doesn't have the largest package. I mean, he's not playing like Donald Trump. All right, let's talk about Hulk Hogan. He's suing Gawker Media for $100 million for publishing a video without his consent and showing him having sex with Bubba the Love Sponge's wife, Heather Clem. And my guest is Allison Treasel. She is a defense attorney, and she by the way, you can watch this trial live. She streams it, wildabouttrial.com, okay? And we'll have that all linked at kgoradio.com. So you said this is quite a circus, Allison.
Unbelievable. It is the most exciting civil trial that has ever been. And civil trials can be really boring.
I love it because, you know, there's just some quick background here. I know Bubba the Love Sponge. He's a radio guy. And actually, I played program director for 10 minutes in Texas. And I hired him, and we ended up having to fire him because he was so offensive. But, you know, I know the guy, and I know this story, and it's a big story. And I just think, when you think Aaron Andrews, well, that's excessive, $55 million. Hulk Hogan, $100 million? Really?
Hulk's not getting $100 million. Just for your listeners, the backstory is this. Hulk is having a rough time with his wife. They are separated. Bubba the Love Sponge and his wife, Heather, allegedly try for many years to get the Hulkster to sleep with Heather. They ask him on numerous occasions. He refuses. And then, because his marriage has gone sideways and he's lonely, he decides to give it a whirl three times. And unbeknownst to him, Bubba has a recording device in their bedroom, captures it. It inexplicably makes its way to Gawker. And the dirty puts up some still photos of it. The dirty is another site. They send a cease and desist to thedirty.com. The dirty brings it down. Hulk's personal attorney sends a cease and desist to Gawker. And Gawker says, no way, this is newsworthy. You've put it out in the public. You're a celebrity. We're not taking it down.
Okay, so according to the news, Hogan reiterated today, in court yesterday rather, that he suffered and felt humiliated once the tape was released. I haven't been able to get back to being myself since the Gawker sex tape. So he said, I'm not the same person since all this craziness happened. And then today, somehow, his penis came up. What was going on with that?
Oh, my. Today was explosive. So what happened today is he is on the stand, and one of the things that the defense is arguing, fairly arguing, is, hey, you've made this a newsworthy topic. You talked about the sex tape on the radio. You went on Howard Stern. Right. You went on Howard Stern with your daughter, talked about her virginity. This is what you do. You talk about these kinds of things. And in one of those interviews, he talks about how he has a 10-inch penis. And a good 30 minutes of trial testimony today was dedicated to him talking about the interview, whether it was truthful, whether he was in character as Hulk Hogan or he was himself as Terry Bollea, which is his birth name. And so it went to a very weird place today.
Yeah, when is Hulk not Hulk?
So what he says is, when I leave my home, I am in character. Everybody knows me as Hulk, and I talk about, you know, fanciful, crazy things, that I wrestle bulls and I do all these things as Hulk Hogan. But when I am in the privacy of my own home, I am Terry Bollea, and I am entitled to privacy. And he's pretty much right. However, he and his family had a reality show, if you will remember.
Oh, for sure.
Back.
Yes.
And there is a scene which they brought up today where not only are they filming in his house, but he is on the toilet filming, talking to his wife on the phone.
Linda.
And so their argument is, you have so blurred the lines between what is your own private home that is protected and what is public consumption. And Hulk is saying, look, I understand that I make a living like this, but I did not consent to this. I did not know it was being recorded, and I did not consent to your dissemination, and you really have crossed the line.
And how did it get out? I mean, is he accusing Bubba of releasing it, or is
he
just...
He is, and Bubba and he settled, which is funny because they settled for about $5,000. But we do not know who actually handed it over to Gawker. That has not been disclosed yet. We don't know if it will be. But we did learn today, in addition to his testimony, the managing editor of Gawker and Jezebel, she took the stand, and they talked about how their inter-office politics there is also at Gawker is also pretty nasty, where they laugh about these things, they joke around, they all looked at the video, they talked about his penis size, and so they were made to look really sleazy, in addition to an interview that has now been played twice for the jury, where the owner of Gawker, Nick Denton, is made to look really where he's only interested in money. He doesn't care who he hurts or who he burns along the way. And the jury, I'm sure, is soaking this all in.
Well, let's face it. I mean, in today's social media world, with Gawker and all of these sites, they're looking for any clickbait they can find.
That's correct.
That's correct. Well, and then you have Hulk Hogan. In his defense, he did build a career about being a child-friendly cartoon character. But is it worth $100 million?
Mm. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, they asked him specifically. I mean, we just talked at length about Erin Andrews and how much she has emotionally suffered and how she's in therapy. And Hulk never went to go see a doctor. Hulk's not on any medication over this. And so he doesn't really have any documented injuries to speak of, but he's saying, look, it's humiliating, it's embarrassing, it's changed my life forever. He was, in fact, dumped from the, and this is actually a big deal, he was dumped from the WWE and because of these racial slurs that came out as a result of the release of these tapes.
Wow. I mean, the family's been through the ringer with the son, Nick, who was sent to jail. I guess he served, what, a considerable amount of time for the street car racing crash. Yeah.
I mean, they have been through, and then the divorce was very, you know, was very public. But the question is, and it's a very, very interesting, important First Amendment question, because what are celebrities' rights to privacy?
Right.
And this may define that for us.
Right, exactly. Where I was going, when Hawk is not Hawk, or when is he Hawk? Okay, well, Allison Treasel, thank you very much. We'll continue our conversation as this continues to unfold. And by the way, you can see all of this unfold on her own website. And it's all about, let me see, what is it? It's all about...
It's Wild About Trial.
Wild About Trial, that's it. Wildabouttrial.com. And you can watch again tomorrow and as the trial goes on. Allison, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be back.
810.
And away we KGO go.
Good morning. The World Tennis Association has looked into the violations of Maria Sharapova. And after assessing the situation and studying her closely, we believe the best course of action is a firm, strong spanking. Bill won rock, paper, scissors. He's got her down on the court right now.
That's as loud as it gets.
And by the way, I think that's all she deserves is a spanking anyway. You know, I don't... Oh, yeah. I mean, with all of that business going on, I forgot she was the screamer. You know, my other half, she watches that all the time. Brian, do you remember?
Well, it's part of women's tennis now.
I know. All that grunting.
They're not trying hard if they don't scream.
They're not grunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that deserves a spanking. I'm not sure it deserves losing every single sponsor that she has. I mean, 29 of her, well, she made $29 million last year and $23 million of it was from her endorsement deals. And they were very aggressive today. They just immediately yanked. So we'll see. For taking meldonium, which I never heard of. She's been using it for magnesium deficiency. She has a family history of diabetes, and she's been using it for like 10 years. Anyway, you know, January 1st, the Tennis Federation, whatever they are, said you can't use it anymore, and she tested positive. So we'll see how that shakes out. All right. All things legal this hour. Randy Meisner from the Eagles. This is such a bizarre story. Original Eagles bassist Randy Meisner has been cleared in the bizarre death of his wife, Lana, who was shot and killed in their home in Los Angeles area on Sunday. You know, we should have asked Allison about this. Lana called 911 to report domestic violence. She claimed Randy was waving a BB gun and acting erratically, allegedly. It's unclear why nothing seemed to come out of that, but just an hour and a half later, she was dead. Now, Randy claims she went into another room, closed the door, and that's when he heard a shot. He busted in and found that she'd been shot in the head. He called 911, and the cops showed up, obviously. But they ruled her death an accident. The LAPD issued a statement saying, quote, as she lifted the rifle in the case, another item within the case shifted and hit the trigger of the rifle, causing it to fire. They say Randy has been totally cooperative throughout the investigation. For whatever it's worth,
So they say she basically shot herself.
Yeah, it was an accident. For what it's worth, Randy was put on a 24-hour watch last year when a friend reported that he was threatening murder-suicide with an AK-47 and pills. Randy's lawyer at the time said the situation was widely overblown. Sounds messy to me. All right, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about was, Kesha. Kesha was ruled not that her Sony contract was going to be upheld, and that she had to make four more albums for Dr. Luke. Well, for Sony. I don't know if she has to make it for Dr. Luke, with Dr. Luke, her producer specifically. But Kelly Clarkson stepped into the arena today, and she was doing radio interviews and doing the round in Australia. And she said the record label blackmailed her into working with Dr. Luke twice.
Wow.
Listen to this story.
A lot of artists that have worked with him that don't work with him anymore for pretty good, solid reasons. He's not a good person to me. Unfortunately, when you have that poor of character, like so many artists don't like you, like don't like working with you, and, you know, that's not normal. I only worked with him because literally I got blackmailed by my label. They were like, we will not put your album, like, if you don't do this. Yeah, it was a really hard time for me. We have a whole crew to support. Like, you know, we have our whole touring, you know, crew that, and people that depend on us for their livelihood. So it's like, sometimes you have to make decisions like that. You just kind of have to swallow that pill.
Okay. But, as far as the Kesha situation, she said, quote, wasn't there for any of that. And she never heard anything like that to me. So I don't know.
It's really weird to hear this guy's name in the news again.
Right. Well, it won't go away. You know, so I don't know. Kesha's got to make four more albums for Sony.
Well, hopefully she doesn't have to deal with him.
Well, I hope not. And I think if she makes nice, what she all she needs is one hit record, dude. I mean, that's it. You know, one hit and it's all over. Yeah, it's all forgotten.
But four albums is a long way from now.
I know. Well, you know.
Unless she works really fast.
She's got to do it. Well, you got to think that she's got some stuff in the can, or she's been working on something while she's been laying low. I mean, it seems very restrictive, and you have people like Adele standing behind her, and a lot of people supporting her. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, a deal is a deal. And so with Sony, get in there and make the music. I would say push out Dr. Luke. Let him work with somebody else. Hey, well, you're in the news department, Brian. Have you heard about this fake vomit scandal that is happening across Uber rides across the country?
You know, I read about that the other day, and I can say I drove for Lyft for a while, and the drivers did get extra money as a cleaning fee from passengers.
It's disgusting, it's duplicitous, and apparently it's being done, according to digitaltrends.com. Uber cars across the United States, a number of them have reported to, you know, that drivers are planning fake vomit in their cars to collect the cleaning fees from unsuspecting customers.
That's a sweet gag.
You know, this one story goes, so this woman checked her bill in the morning. She found that there was a $200 cleaning fee that had been added to her $19 fare with no explanation. When she reached out to customer service, they began piecing it all together. And yes, and apparently she was accused of heaving all over the place.
Oh, and busted. Did she get her money back, do you know?
Well, no, I don't know whether she did. One representative told her that the driver noted that she'd been drunk, and another customer service emailed this person that the cleaning fee goes 100% to the driver, so you got to think something's up.
There's a lot of he said, she said in there.
I know.
The Uber driver.
And thank you very much for the sound effects. Well, Uber and these Lyft drivers are not making what they used to. You and I were talking about this.
Well, that's true. It used to be a really good deal to drive for Uber and Lyft, and now it's less so for sure.
So if you get a $100 cleaning fee,
sweetens the pot a little bit for
sure. Right, but if you get busted, then you're done. Then you're toast, aren't you? I mean, because they're very strict about their drivers and the ratings. And
yeah, if you get caught lying or if, you know, drunk or threatening anybody, you're out.
Yeah. I can always tell who the Uber and Lyft drivers are because they're usually following the speed limit. Please get out of my way when I'm crossing the bridge. All right, on that note, we're going to Lisa Durden, our activist, all things pop culture, on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.